a plethora of great candidates, you know, ranging from the people who, you know, revealed the video in Chicago that, you know, led to the police department coming apart, to the firing of the head of the police department, and a lot of pressure being put on the mayor there. There were a number of cases just in the past year of people who had done excellent work from outside the mainstream that, you know, made a huge difference in the journalist world. But these were people who were, quite frankly, self-identified as advocates and as activists. And that's the shift that we're seeing, and that's the shift that I hope that the Danny and the small stipend that comes with it will encourage and will move forward even more rapidly than it's happening now.
We've been speaking with Rory O'Connor. You can find the article, A for Activist, No Longer Journalism Scarlet Letter, on alternet.org. Rory O'Connor, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you, and thank you, FAIR, for existing.
That's it for Counterspin, brought to you each week by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. The show is engineered by Erica Bassett and Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
Come on, y'all, get live, get down. Come, show you from the underground.
So listen to what we say.
All your sucker MCs want your beats to come out today. Come on, y'all, get live, get down.
Coming from the underground.
Cool. Cause I don't get upset.
Take an engine to my comprehension, it's just too complex.
What's going on, everybody? This show, formerly known as Say Hey, it's going down right now. Jarrell Gilbert, your host, alongside Derek Isamaki.
Yo, what's good?
Jordan Booth.
What up?
AKA DJ J Pounds.
Every Thursday at midnight.
Make sure you check that out. As well as Jaime. Jaime, what's happening, brother?
What's good, man?
What a day to be alive.
What a time.
For some people, yeah. Others, not so much, but.
Matter of fact, why are we celebrating?
I just want to say how selfish of you right now to play Warriors when it's America's birthday today. We don't even say a happy 4th of July to all the people listening right now. Not even first and foremost. You got to start with that. Wow.
Happy Kevin Durant signing day.
Right. I've seen so many memes about that already.
There's been some good ones out there. Some good videos. Yeah. Photoshop is amazing.
Obviously, the big news of the day, the Warriors signed Zaza Pachulia. So.
Yes. That's a steal. That's a steal.
Yeah, sure was. So obviously, Kevin Durant, the reason we're all here today, we've gathered here today to discuss Kevin Durant signing with the Golden State Warriors, the biggest free agent acquisition, I would argue, since LeBron James going to the Heat. What, that was 6 years ago now? Yeah, six years.
Was it really
years
that long ago?
Yeah.
Wow. I actually remember watching that.
You remember the announcement?
The
announcement was what, Magic Johnson?
Yeah, that was Magic.
That was
a little bit different announcement.
Oh, yeah, no.
He was moving from something else.
So, obviously, Kevin Durant signed a 2-year, $54 million deal with the Golden State Warriors today. Before we get into it, I just thought, I was telling Derek this earlier today, the way I woke up was to the news, and it was the best way to wake up that I can remember in a very, very, very long time. My phone was exploding with text messages. Shout out to the Triangle Offense. They're hitting me up telling me, KD, just, and I didn't know what was going on, and then all of a sudden my team streams hit me up, Bleacher Report, obviously ESPN updates, and it was real, man. And I started screaming and pounding my pillow and yelling KD, so it's real. He's coming to the Dubs.
Yeah, no, I found out from your text. That's this morning.
Yeah.
Same here.
Can I be honest? I was at the other end of the spectrum here. I opened up social media and I'm like, what? The Warriors? And it just hit me and I'm like, scary. This is going to be scary. But it's great. You know, right now, at this point of the day, it's going to be great for the game and great for the NBA. But I was the opposite. I was like, oh my goodness, it's real.
Yeah, it was. I didn't see it coming. I know a lot of people thought that, you know, there's people speculated on this prior to it going down. But I personally thought he was going to re-sign with OKC.
Same.
You know, sign the player option, do a similar deal that he did with the Warriors with a player option after the first, so he can, you know, make up his mind with Russell Westbrook. And he decided to forego that and sign a 2-year deal with the Warriors. So a lot of ways we could go with this. First and foremost, I guess we should start with the impact to OKC. They were a 3-1 odds-on favorite to win the title next year, and I believe they're now 30-1. So things, you know, Vegas obviously is perceives this team drastically different. So Derek, let's start with you. What do you think for OKC moving forward?
It's going to be an interesting battle for them right now, especially because getting rid of Serge Ibaka for Victor Oladipo was kind of a move gone wrong, because they're kind of hoping Kevin Durant, obviously hoping Kevin Durant sticks around for that team to formulate and to kind of find a groove. And now you're stuck with Russell Westbrook as being the primary focus of a team around him that's not nearly as strong as it was before, I feel. And you know, it's going to be interesting, especially because it looks like they're not going to re-sign Westbrook anymore. He might be looking to bounce out next year. And but like you said, there's maybe some draft hopes in the future for them. But I just, yeah, it doesn't look very promising at this
point. Jordan's over here shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head?
Because, man, KD's a fraud. How you going to leave your brother like that? How you going to leave your little bro like that, just on stuck like that? Like, he just left Russell in there by himself.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem a little bit cold-blooded. Matter of fact, we were on Jake's show when it was still Jake's show, and we were filling in for Say Hey a couple months back during the OKC Golden State series. And Derek, you and I were saying that, you know, or I was saying that part of the reason I thought KD was going to re-sign was because him and Russell seem so tight. They're doing press conferences, every press conference together. After a playoff game, they're together. Win or lose, and it just seemed like they were super tight. And then when people, specifically when Mark Cuban was saying whatever he was saying about Russ, you know, KD came in and called Cuban an idiot and all that kind of stuff. So it just, that's why I thought it was a foregone conclusion. They were both coming back, and now they're not.
It's interesting how it takes a certain amount of things to happen in the NBA universe for these things kind of happen. Like, you take the 3-1, you know, the Thunder blow the 3-1 lead against the Warriors, and then the Warriors blow the 3-1 lead against the Cavs, and here we are. Here we are now. A bunch of what-ifs really come into play, and just, I mean, you look at the big picture.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. There are a lot of what-ifs. What if the Warriors won the finals? Do you think this is still a move they're going after? I'm not sure.
I believe they still make that move.
Yeah, I think the winning championship would have just solidified him coming there quicker, probably, I think, in his mind.
But I just have – my biggest issue is that, like, you lost to them, like, in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how y'all play, where you're from, whatever, but if you lose to somebody – like, you want to come back and beat them, in my opinion.
I feel that, yeah.
You don't want to, like, oh, let's be on teams now. Like, you beat me, okay, we're on teams now.
Well, speaking of that, Stephen A. Smith pretty much echoed that sentiment. Let's get to that real quick.
How are you viewing this move from Durant?
Well, I'm viewing it as the weakest move I've ever seen from a superstar. Plain and simple. That's just how I look at it. It's not that he's leaving Oklahoma City. If you're not happy there and you want to move on and you want to grow as a player, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. He's one of the top three players in the world. He's a quintessential superstar. He deserves all the credit in the world for the talent that he possesses. But the flip side is this. They were up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals. Not one, not two, but three different times. He was 48 minutes removed from getting to the NBA Finals by winning the Western Conference. Three times he failed, particularly in Game 6. And you depart for the team that beat you when you're on the cusp of getting to the finals yourself, or ultimately winning the championship for the franchise that you've been with since you've come into the NBA. I think it's incredibly weak. And I don't want to hear any comparisons to that of LeBron James when LeBron James left Cleveland for South Beach. When LeBron left Cleveland, the cupboard was bare. He was basically the only dude in Cleveland. It was LeBron James and a bunch of no names. In the case of Kevin Durant, you have one of the top five players in the world as your teammate. You've got Billy Donovan, who's proven to be an exceptional coach. You've got a coaching staff. You've got a first-class organization. You've got Enes Kanter, Steven Adams, and all of these boys. You are legitimately a championship contender. You are the difference. You are the superstar. And you depart for the team that beat you.
So you get the point there.
Incredibly weak. I love the word, Stephen A.
Great words.
Incredibly weak.
Well, I mean, you're saying it's a lot different than LeBron. How?
It's not a lot different. It's the exact same situation. But I feel like the perception of LeBron when LeBron did it was like, oh, LeBron's a weenie and he's weak. And
I think a lot of it also has to do with the way he did it, too. A lot of that, that really.
Most definitely.
Brought on all the hate because everyone saw it. They sat down to see him make that move. While Kevin Durant he did it much more peacefully, much more the way you should have done it, you know?
But he made, you know, like at least $40 million off that decision.
I realize what he did it for, though. That's a great cause, but still.
Yeah, he did it for the cheese.
The way he did it was, you could still have made money for that. You could have still let your owner know how it was going to go down and stuff. I think that brought too much attention just on him instead of
the bigger picture
of like, oh, sure, he did in front of boys and girls.
But anybody deserves that amount of attention, would it not be the best player in the world the last 6, 7, 8 years, 9 years?
No doubt. I mean, but no one else had ever done that before.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. No, definitely, like, when you blaze a new trail, you're going to get people that don't, you know, necessarily feel the way you feel, and you're going to have people who are scorned by it. But now that we're seeing a different situation with a different person, it needs to be treated the same way. Kevin Durant does not get a pass because he's Kevin Durant. He's not LeBron James.
Well, I think he does. And here's why. He's always gotten a pass, right? I mean, LeBron's had a bigger group of haters, I would say, or naysayers, or whatever you want to call it, since he came into the league. For whatever reason, he just rubs people the wrong way, I believe, and he's received a lot of hate. He's also been in the spotlight since he was 16 years old, where KD, you know, hoop heads, like really serious hoop heads, knew who KD was before he was at Texas. But that's really when he was at Texas was when he burst onto the national spotlight. Whereas LeBron, they were playing his high school games on ESPN when he was a junior.
No doubt.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. I think there's something a little bit different. And KD, for the most part, I mean, he's always kind of gotten a pass, whether it be game six. Instead of all this talk about how the Warriors or the Warriors overcame that, or that actually became the narrative, as opposed to talking about how KD played horrible in that fourth quarter in game six when it was clearly a closeout moment and they should have won that game. So,
I mean, he played terrible low-key the whole series. He had like two good games in that series. Russell really carried them that entire series. Russell was the reason they were there. And everybody's so quick to say that Russell isn't adequate. Russell was a more complete player.
I mean, it was Russell along with, I think, like I said, the size of OKC over the Thunder. Like, that combination together with the guy's athleticism, their big guy's athleticism, I think really kind of, that was definitely the turning point as opposed to Kevin Durant, as you'd think it'd be with someone like his caliber on that team. You'd think he'd be that focal point, but you're right. Yeah, he really wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, you got a point. He didn't play great in that series.
And Russell outplayed the two-time MVP.
He absolutely did.
Outplayed him.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that about the Kyrie, too. I mean,
Kyrie outplayed him, too, and they won.
Yep. Well, so,
interesting.
So I was like, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, Steph's supposed to get that surgery next week, so hopefully he comes back and can ball out.
Is that an excuse?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how hurt he was. And all I know is I watched every single game this season. And Steph,
he didn't look the same after.
He didn't look the same.
I give you that.
So I don't know if it was the injury. I don't know if he was worn down. I don't know what it was. But you could tell he wasn't right because he just wasn't getting to the rack. I mean, a lot of people look at that one of the final plays when he had Kevin Love switch on him and he couldn't get past Kevin Love. You know what I mean? Like, that's not the dude I saw all season. But I'm just interested. What do you guys think with this Warriors lineup now? They shipped off Andrew Bogut today. He's going to the Mavs. It looks like they probably will not match the offer for Harrison Barnes from the Mavs for $95 million. Why would you at this point?
Highly doubtful.
Mavs. Yeah. So
I want the Mavs to be good, man. Mark Cuban's an interesting character.
I agree, and yeah. I would like to see the Mavs be competitive too. I think it would be interesting. I would love to see another matchup, Warriors Mavs in the playoffs, because mm-hmm. bring it back 06. But
we believe.
Yeah, those were the years, man. That was my first taste of like playoff victory.
Yeah.
In my conscious lifetime. Before that was Run TMC, and I was like, six.
Because who did y'all have? Yeah, it was Baron, Captain Jack.
Captain Jack. We had Al Harrington on that squad.
Yeah.
Don't forget about my boy Beandrins.
He in Russia somewhere posted.
Yeah,
you guys were a rebounding machine right there.
Huh?
Rebounding machine right
he
there.
He was. Yeah. He couldn't do
His
anything.
His free throws were terrible.
Oh, my God.
I think the turning point of that season is when they actually made the trade for Al Harrington and Steven Jackson. They shipped off Murphy and Dunleavy Jr., and they got brought in those guys from Indiana. Indiana is, after the Malice in the Palace a couple years before that, they weren't the same team anymore. And they were just kind of, where do we go from here? They made the trade.
That is like the ultimate highlight of my sports life.
I remember my boy called me and was like, "Are you watching this?" I was like, "Watching what?" He's like, "People are dying right now."
Yeah.
And it was on, I believe it was TBS or TNT. It was one of the two. And I hopped on, and sure enough, man, that was
anarchy.
That footage is rare now, too. It was around, I think, the mid-2000s.
Can you imagine in this day and age if that happened with social media the way it is?
There'd be like Snapchats of like Ron Artest in there. Yeah,
can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Someone taking a selfie of getting knocked out by Jermaine O'Neal.
Because that footage is raw.
That dude was not ready.
Though. No, he was not.
The dude who came out the stand, Jermaine O'Neal seen him and loaded up the most devastating.
I mean, this is like a 7-foot guy going on a civilian right now. That's what's so epic about it, too.
Decapitating.
He really brought it all the way back, too. Yeah. He couldn't have cocked further back before
he got his whole body.
I was like,
bro,
move your head. Like, he just let bro hit him and destroy his chin and facial muscles.
Man. I love how that just got brought up on the show, Malice in the Palace.
I have no idea how that happened, but I'm happy it did.
Somebody threw a soda at Ron. He went crazy.
Historical events.
But yeah, okay, let's get back to the topic at hand here. I do want to know what you guys think for this Warriors lineup. You're probably going to start, you would imagine, KD at the 4?
Yeah.
Draymond at the 5?
See?
That's a weird lineup.
I think you got to start like Zaza or somebody. You got to have... Like, I don't know.
I think Zaza will start. He'll get the starter minutes. He'll probably take him out early and immediately go to Smoble. You know what I mean?
Like they did with Bogut.
Exactly.
The same way.
Exactly.
But I mean, somebody's going to have to come off the
bench. Like I said, you can put Dre at the 3. He can do.
He's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You can. He's got the quickness to be able to guard someone like that, And you got Clay and Steph at 1 and 2. And obviously, I mean, you could maybe throw an Iggy there if you wanted to at some points in time.
Yeah, Iggy, you just keep Iggy coming off the bench.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr's going to have fun. He's going to have fun.
And they reloaded and got S-Dot, my man, Sean Livingston back, which is huge for them because he played great. As a matter of fact,
What his deal looked like? I'm just curious.
I think it was 5.8 for 1 year.
Man, because did you see like Dellavedova's deal?
Yeah, these dudes are getting paid.
I'm like, Sean Livingston caddy, he should have got paid because he's a good player.
I think he's just taking that hometown discount, though. He's playing with the winner.
Knee's been broken. If my knee got broken the way his knee got broken, I would take every dollar I could
get. I feel
get.
It. I'm with you, man.
Yeah, his knee injury,
he's played on, 14 teams, too? I mean,
he's an amazing story.
I don't think 14. He's been in a lot of places, though.
He's been around the block,
It's been a lot.
He's been in a lot of different places.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they mix and match their lineup, obviously, with no Bogut. I think that's an understated loss for him. Bogut is, in my opinion, the best passer from the big man position, and on a team that has this many scores and just added one, you need as much passing as you can, and a guy who doesn't need the ball a whole lot to get his shots. He got his shots basically, becoming a garbage man, getting putbacks, getting easy lobs and things like that, and I think that's a huge loss. He was also a really, really smart player. Azili's not that yet. And they might let Easy walk, too, because it looks like they, with that signing of Zaza, it's saying, see you later, Easy.
I really like that signing. He's exactly, I feel like he's exactly what you went over. He doesn't need the ball. He'll get you, 12 rebounds a game.
What's that?
Are they going to keep Verja?
You would imagine they'd let him walk, too, because his deal, he only signed for $400,000 for the end of the year. So you would imagine that was a one-year deal. You would imagine they'd let him walk. I don't see why you'd bring him back.
I mean... because they're just so small.
Yeah, they
without
are.
Without him, I mean, you only have one center on the in the lineup, and yeah. probably like some random dude who's like your 15th, 16th man. But
yeah, they drafted a center from Vanderbilt to
Damian Jones.
Yeah. And he looks nasty, but, I mean, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And he's obviously not going to be getting big minutes in the finals, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, Anderson Varejao is somebody with experience who's been there, you know, a second, third center. Like, that's a good option to have. And I'm sure he's not going to demand millions of dollars. Like Mozgov's deal.
I heard that.
Preposterous.
Oh, my. I don't want to talk about that.
Hold on. So, full transparency to the listening audience. Obviously, myself, Drew, I am a Golden State Warriors fan through and through. Jordan happens to have a Clippers beanie on right now representing
Mavs.
Because we got it really ice cold in the studio because, as you all know, it's really hot outside.
Hey.
And then these other two jokers are Lakers fans.
Oh, my God.
At least I'm from L.A., so I kind of have like some reason.
My roots
like,
are there.
Yeah, like, please let me have that.
I'll give it to you. You're not from the Bay Area.
No, yeah, no. I'm not one of those people. No, I'm born and raised... You know, follow the diehard since Jerry West era. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So you support snitching? Do y'all support snitching?
We do not support snitching on this show. All right.
I
don't support Snapchat. Right. That's what I don't support. Like, put that stuff away. Like, no, we don't need, like, we put too much out there. Let's enjoy the moment. We don't need to all see it, you know?
Dead in depth, I heard they're trying to not only waive, but possibly trade Nick Young's contract.
They should. He's a distraction.
Yeah. We don't need to have him anymore.
I mean, Nick Young was obviously one of those guys who just wanted to be in L.A. for the attention. I mean,
hometown boy.
Yeah, SC kid. So, you know, it's fun.
No, right. He went home. It makes sense. But
he had it sewed up, though. They had signed him to that 2-year deal, had a nice little deal. All he had to do was just be cool. But then.
Well, he had a career year that first year of.
Exactly.
Of his time there, that first year he came in, he had an outstanding year. Percentages were up, you know. But after that, just he got paid. And I feel like
got unfocused.
Yes.
Well, and remember, it was Kobe's farewell joke of a tour.
Oh, this season.
Oh, goodness.
And
I mean, this doesn't look very promising future right now. But
for the Lakers, you don't think so?
I like your guys' pieces.
Yeah, I think
right now, but it's a lot farther away than I thought it was going to be. I thought they were going to be able to make some moves at least and actually get some a bigger name than. Timothy Mozgov.
I totally agree. And on that topic, the fact we're in different times, the fact that they actually didn't have any meeting set up, not even with, say, a Kevin Durant. And it just kind of goes to show you where we're at. And it is kind of when I heard they signed Mozgov, it was one of the first contract signings of free agent period. I was like, OK, do they something we don't know?
It just goes to show that until Jim Buss for Lakers is no longer where he is. It's going to be a long time. It's going to be a rough road, I feel. Our front office is just trash.
Are you guys just going to sulk about the Lakers?
I'm pretty high on Brandon Ingram. Yeah. No,
this is not what the show is about.
I refuse.
Who cares? Let's talk about teams that are actually doing stuff.
Teams that are relevant, like the one on my beanie.
Oh, God. Oh,
no. Clipper Nation.
Well, see, but this is an interesting wrinkle to it, too. I will bring the Clippers in because they're actually in the playoffs.
Ha.
If Blake Griffin doesn't have the hammy... And
then we definitely get past Portland. We probably take the Golden State Warriors to 7.
Not without Chris Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I was going to allude to.
But
Chris Paul's healthy.
It was a trickle-down effect. Man, if Blake didn't get hurt, Chris wouldn't have got hurt. Yeah. That's how I feel. That's really how I feel.
Possibly. I mean,
he put more on himself. Yeah.
Chris was doing too much trying to win it for us.
It's just interesting how it goes down. That, you know, everything could be completely different. The Thunder win, and obviously you would all imagine KD's re-signing with the Thunder if they win the championship. It was close, you know. It's just these little things break one way or the other, and it's a completely different outcome. I don't think the Warriors get past the Clippers with an injured Steph and a healthy Chris Paul, but we'll never know, will we?
We never will.
No.
So back to the Golden State Warriors, who are... obviously, KD signed with them today. News of the day, if you're just joining us. And let's go to one kid who is not stoked about KD signing with the Warriors.
I just want to start off by thanking Kevin Durant for everything he's done for the organization, for everything he's done for Oklahoma, okay? for really leading this team, for really, saying he wanted to be here for his entire career and then leaving, for getting us to game 7 of the Warriors series, giving us a 3-1 lead and then choking the last 3 games. I want to thank you, Kevin Durant. I want to thank you for saying this is your home, for getting the hopes up of every single Thunder fan, for saying it was a basketball decision. I want to thank you for saying it's about the teammates, the people you were in with every single day, and then saying F off to your entire team. To saying, no, I'd rather go with the player who kicked Steven Adams in the nuts. I'd rather go to the team who just beat us. Thank you. This is a big thank you letter to you, Kevin Durant. Oh, let's be competitive. You literally just lost to the Warriors. What are you doing? You just lost to them and now you're leaving? Now you're leaving to go join them? I hope you become a bench player. I hope you never win anything in your entire life in the NBA. Ever. This free agency stuff is getting out of hand. It's like an episode on HBO. And then no, you wanted your own HBO special. You wanted to make anyone wait. I have to check out the shower every 2-3 seconds. Oh, Kevin Durant. Oh, Kevin Durant. Oh, Kevin Durant signed with the Warriors.
So not everyone is as excited as I am. This kid, he actually brings up some interesting points. KD did tweet out a few years back saying everyone wants to join the Heat and the Lakers. What happened to competing and going at guys? Then he left his squad to go join with his main rival. And
realized you need more people, It's the realization of the game,
Five player.
Agreed.
But he still couldn't do it. And for how long? How many years did he try?
They was going to get Victor Oladipo for him. They were making moves for him. They was going to make it happen for him.
That's the whole idea. But okay.
That's why it did look better.
I think that's one of the problems. I think we put so much emphasis on just because he got drafted by them and he was with them for his entire career up until this point that he deserves something, that they deserve him or something of that nature. That's complete bogus in my eyes. He's not from OKC. Didn't go to college there. He didn't. That's where he went. Grew as a person and became. He's learning the NBA. He's in a professional environment right now, and he wants to do his best for him. And he has an opportunity to go play for a top 5 coach in Steve Kerr. Also play under the executive power of Jerry West, who's a phenomenal front office guy who knows how to build a basketball team.
Brought Shaq to LA.
More than that, he had the Showtime era Lakers is before that. He did so much. And I think we overlook the fact that there's a lot of influence on the Warriors team that is a really drawing factor to someone like Kevin Durant who wants to get better as a player. And sure, maybe OKC has a class organization. Billy Donovan is a nice coach. He's a good coach. He's able to take that team. But, I would probably put Steve Kerr over him. I'd probably put their front office over, the OKC's front office. And I think that's something that people have to realize, that just because you got drafted by them and he grew up there, quote unquote, that he owes them something.
It's a business.
It's not like he owes them something, but it's like about his legacy. Like, if you were a Michael Jordan fan and when Michael Jordan stopped playing for the Bulls and started playing for the Wizards, that hurt his legacy.
Agreed.
If Kobe never played for the Lakers all 20 years, if Kobe would have switched teams his last 4 years, you tell me that wouldn't taint his legacy a little bit?
It would, absolutely.
Okay, we consider KD one of the top, one of the second best players. Like 2 years ago, he was considered the second best player unanimously behind LeBron James. He's one of the best players in our game. Him switching teams like that taints his legacy. Just like LeBron leaving tainted his legacy.
Everyone has a tainted legacy for the most part.
For the most part, except for Kobe, right? At this point.
Well, we're in an era where, you have to keep in mind, I refer to it as the AAU basketball era, where these guys go across town to play against the best player in that town and so on and so forth. So they grew up in an environment where it's okay to go play with the guy across town because that's what AAU is.
You get the best talent on that team. That's what they're trying to do.
Right. Yeah. So that's definitely what it is. It's a big influence. Look at these guys hanging out. Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony and LeBron hanging out over the summer.
Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are actually very close on the offseason when they're on the team. They both share, they're similar faiths they have. That's drawn them a lot together. I think that's also a thing as well, that the relationships he probably has in maybe SF and in the Golden State is something that he feels more promising.
Yeah, there is absolutely more opportunity when it comes to sponsorship and things of that nature. There's more businesses in the Bay Area than there are in OKC. I've been to OKC. There's not a whole lot going on. And I can't speak for black people everywhere, but I will say that there's not a ton of them in OKC. And so you just
get your white girl on, Kevin.
You absolutely can. I'm sure he was. But, you know, there's just not a whole lot there.
6'10 on you.
And they're going to have to go through some of the same things the Spurs went through before they went through this revamp over the last 20 years and built something. It's going to have to be a homegrown thing. They're going to have to be, you know, proven winners in order to attract people. Otherwise, they're going to be like Cleveland, where it's just going to be hard to attract big-name free agents because you're OKC. You're in the middle of nowhere. You're not Miami. You're not a glamorous city. And
we brought up the 07 Warriors a little bit ago. We think about the Warriors now, and they're nothing like that team. The Warriors are a franchise now that it hit me today.